The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Fighter versus the Writer. I'm your host, as always, Damon Martin, and today I am happy to be joined by one of my favorite commentators and, of course, one of the top light heavyweights in the sport. He hosts his own show. He hosts actually multiple shows now, including the one he does with Michael Bisping on top of his own show. Always welcome in the great Anthony Smith. Anthony, how many shows do you have now? Like 14?
That's how it feels sometimes, doesn't it? Right now, it's just the two. You know, me and Laura Senko, every once in a while, we'll jump on our YouTube channel if there's something we really want to talk about. But both of us have just gotten so busy. So that one's kind of just hanging out, not doing much. And then I co-host the Believe You Me podcast with Michael Bisping once a week. And then I'm on Sirius XM Radio channel 156 on Tuesdays. So I'm a busy guy.
You're very busy. I love that you ended up doing the show with Bisping. I get Bisping on a lot. He was actually the first ever co-host on this podcast. And boy, I tell you what, he's like one of the best dudes you'll ever meet. It's so funny. Like, people always had this opinion of Michael Bisping when he was a fighter. And I always knew him really well. And I would tell people, like, dude, if you knew Michael Bisping, you would be the biggest fan of this guy. Like, I know he's a great trash talker, all that kind of stuff. But if you actually knew him, you would totally love this guy. But now that he's not a fighter, now that he's retired, like, everyone loves Michael Bisping. It's so funny, like, how the entire world has come around on Michael Bisping.
Yeah, well, you just no one actually knew him. That's I think you kind of hit it on the head there. Like, no one actually knew. They just seen how he acted and I guess spoke to and about his opponents. But I'm with you, man. Michael Bisping is one of the best people I've ever met. He's a lot of fun. He's hilarious. He's got an interesting perspective on the sport. I love his analysis. He's made the transition from fighter to analyst beautifully. Yeah, man, we have a lot of fun too on that podcast. It's not all just fights. You know, I bet half the show is kind of non-MMA related stuff, and it's stuff that we think is weird or funny, or, you know, it's just kind of world news and just whatever's going on in our own lives. I mean, we'll go off on tangents and not even talk about half the shit we were going to talk about. It's a lot of fun, man. I really look forward to Mondays when we record.
Yeah, he's a great dude. Great dude. So before we get into all the other stuff we're going to talk about, of course, I was at UFC Columbus last night. So we're going to talk about that. And of course, some of the other craziness going on in the world of MMA. Of course, we're going to talk about the madness surrounding Jorge Masvidal and Colby Covington, because I haven't even really had a chance to address that yet. You know, it's still kind of ongoing as of a couple of days ago. But before we get to any of that, let me ask about you. How are you? How is everything? I know last time we talked, you were still, you know, looking to come back with the knee injury, and you were kind of looking at the lay of the land of who you were going to fight. So how are you feeling and you know, kind of where you are right now?
Man, I feel great. We're back. I'm 100% healed, feeling good, trying to get in shape and be less fat and tired all the time. So, it's going good, man. I'm just waiting to get a fight.
Is it, it's so funny. Like, you had the Ankalaev thing popped up when he fought, then you had Paul Craig calling you out. And I know you said on Twitter, like, you're never a guy, you're never going to turn anybody down. What is next? Like, what does make sense? You got, I know that you probably heard, looks like they're going to rebook Jan Blachowicz and Alexander Rakic, as much as I know you wanted either one of those fights. Looks like they're going to fight in May. So that's off the table. We know Glover and Jiří are going to fight in June. So what does make the most sense? Like, what is most intriguing to you right now?
Well, I think what makes the most sense and what's most intriguing are two completely different fights, to be honest with you. What makes the most sense is me and Ankalaev. I don't know what the holdup is. To be honest, you'd have to ask the UFC, because I've been begging for an opportunity. So that's all. I'm just waiting on a contract. I'm waiting on a name. I'm waiting, you know what I mean? Like, that's on them to figure it out, and they know how to get a hold of me. But I think Ankalaev makes the most sense. The most intriguing that's available. Paul Craig is intriguing to me. I respect his respectful call out. Like his confidence and his, you know, a little bit of arrogance, but in a respectful way. I think the jiu-jitsu part of the matchup is fun. It's just something that's different that I haven't seen in a long time. I haven't had to prepare for a jiu-jitsu guy in a really long time. So, I think that part of it would just be a nice change up to like the training camp, you know? So I think that one just sounds like a lot of fun. You know, I think about a fight with Paul Craig, it just feels fun. Ankalaev is stressful. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta really put, I don't want to say put the work in, but you gotta really, I don't know, streamline your way into training camp. Like, it's gotta be super specific and you gotta be really dialed in and focused, which is fine. I'm okay with doing that. But Paul Craig, you can kind of just train and just be better, you know, than you were before. And at least in my mind, I can just go in and just be the best version of myself, and I win that fight. But, and that doesn't mean it's easier. It's just different. You know, I don't have to do anything special for Paul Craig. Ankalaev is a little different.
Yeah. But, and I like Paul Craig very much. You know, him pulling off the win he did against, last couple weekends ago was amazing. That was an incredible submission. But I'm not gonna lie to you, man. Like, I think the Ankalaev fight would be better only because, like I said, a win over him, I think to that, you're pretty much, you know, right there for a title shot. Now, I know, of course, you got to deal with the Rakic situation where he's at. I think Jan Blachowicz beats him. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think Blachowicz beats him, but we'll see. But
you know, I think he can for sure, especially because of a couple of the things that Blachowicz is really good at that gives certain people that have certain styles a lot of problems. I said it, I think I told you, I think before the Adesanya fight that I thought Blachowicz was going to beat Adesanya. And it was only for a couple of reasons. The pace at which Jan fights at is very different. He kind of lulls you into this pace that he's very comfortable at. The people that have beat him have been the people that have been able to pull him out of that. Like your Thiago Santoses that kind of got him into a fight that he doesn't typically like to fight. Glover is just, that dude's kind of a fucking hammer. You know what I mean? and just got in his face and was able to hurt him and get a takedown. But Rakic, the way that he wants to fight at a very slow, methodical kind of pace. He wants to plod around, and that's exactly what Blachowicz wants to do. And I think Blachowicz is better at that. I think Blachowicz has more power in his hands. Rakic isn't that great of a boxer. Has he hurt people before? Yeah, for sure. But like at a high level, he's a kicker. He wants to kick from the outside. And I said from the beginning, whoever wins the kicking game or is the better kicker between Thiago Santos and Rakic will win that fight. Turns out that it was Rakic. But Blachowicz is also very, 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 very underrated when it comes to kick defense. If you go and watch the Luke Rockhold fight, he dealt with the kicking game of Luke Rockhold very well. Enough to where he made Luke so uncomfortable on his feet that he wanted to grapple. And then same with Adesanya. He dealt with the kicking game of Adesanya very, very well. He didn't take a lot of clean leg kicks. He checks. Maybe it might be a stupid fucking stat, but I bet if you checked like who's checked the highest percentage of leg kicks in their UFC career, I would fucking bet my life that it's Jan Blachowicz is number one.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really good. And I do like that matchup. And, you know, listen, they're not giving Ankalaev a title shot. You and I both know that. I mean, he didn't have the kind of performance against Thiago Santos. And I hope we don't have to see Ankalaev fight Rakic, because I think they might combine for like 9 strikes thrown over 5 rounds.
Yeah.
The way they fight. But I think the Ankalaev fight makes sense. Oh, I mean, again, I like Ankalaev. I think he's a monster. He's just had this weird couple of fights now where it's like his output hasn't been great.
He's not the boogeyman. He's not the boogeyman. He's not the boogeyman that everyone keeps talking about. I've been saying that for a long time. Is he good? 100%. He is solid. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He doesn't have any glaring holes in his game at all. But he is not the boogeyman that everyone's made him out to be. It's been people, you know, say, oh, Anthony's ducking Uncle. Like, I'm not ducking that dude. Come on. I got 50-something fights. I'm not ducking anybody. I'm just not singing his praises because I'm not that impressed. Can he be? He's got power in his hands. He's got some decent wrestling. But everyone talking about this Russian ground and pound guy that's got all these wrestling abilities. Like, he going into the Thiago Santos fight, he had a lower takedown percentage than Thiago Santos did. Like, he hasn't even attempted a submission in the UFC. Not even attempted. Not one. Not one time. So, like, what are we talking about here? Like, is he good? For sure. I see his skills. I see his abilities. I see his knockout power. I see his technical advantages that he has over a lot of people on his feet. Honestly, he fights southpaw. I would, again, bet my life that he's probably right-handed because of the way that he moves and fights, and he just has all the telltale signs of a right-handed person that fights as a southpaw. So he's different in a couple places, but he's not the boogeyman that everyone keeps talking about. And the higher the competition that he's been fighting, the less it looks like that to me. He looks like he's right there with everybody else. He doesn't stand ahead above anybody in the division, at least at the top of it.
No, I agree. I think this last couple of fights have proven that. I mean, like I said, it's not like he's gone out there and just blown people out of the water in his last couple of fights. But again, I do like that fight for you. You know, I don't know, you know, what timeline we're looking at here. Cards are filling up. Looks like probably June, July is like the earliest we're looking at now. I mean, they're filling up cards. Yeah. I've heard, you know, fights being booked at the end of July. So I know you want to get back in there. And, you know, like I said,
that's what I'm hoping for, is that end of the July card. That's kind of what's been talked about.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Let's shift gears, talk about the heavyweight division, because last night we saw Curtis Blaydes got a big knockout over Chris Daukaus, got a second straight win for him. Of course, second straight loss, second straight knockout loss for Chris Daukaus. And afterwards, Curtis talked about, you know, the interim title fight. He wants to be part of the interim title fight. Of course, Dana White has already said chances are they're going to crown an interim champion with Francis Ngannou out of action. Now, unlike the last time, Anthony, you know, this is actually a time where an interim championship might make sense at heavyweight, because we know Francis is going to be out until sometime in 2023. That's already been determined. He had ACL reconstruction surgery. We know he's not fighting again this year. He just had the surgery a week or two ago. He's not going to be back till next year. It's going to end up being about a year out of action. So an interim champion now makes sense. Did not make sense for Ciryl Gane and Derek Lewis whatsoever. But we also know there's a contract situation with Francis going on where he may not come back. I mean, he may, and I hope he does, because I love Francis Ngannou. I think he's a monster. He has all the potential in the world to be one of the greatest heavyweights of all time, if not the greatest heavyweight of all time. But we don't know. So an interim champion now kind of makes sense, only because if Francis is either gone or completely gone from the UFC, they still have a title. I'm curious your thoughts, because Curtis Blaydes, he wants to be one half of it. I have a hard time disagreeing with that based on his resume. He says Ciryl Gane or Stipe. I think that makes sense. I know we got the John Jones thing out there. Listen, at this point, I'm done talking about John Jones. Until John Jones signs a contract, I'm done talking about it. Because
thank you.
Why is he in the conversation? We have no idea what's going on with John Jones.
Until John signs a contract with someone, I'm imagining he's not in the equation, because we can't talk about what ifs. And John is a big what if. So I'm just completely, I think best case is everyone just pulls John out of it, and let's just stop talking about him until he decides what he wants to do. So
yeah,
John Jones out of the picture. Curtis Blaydes has got to be one half of it. Number one, if we're out of anybody that we're talking about, Curtis Blaydes is the only one that's coming off a win.
Yeah.
You know, Stipe is coming off a loss, and Ciryl Gane is coming off a loss. It's got to be Curtis versus one of those guys. I wouldn't doubt if it is Stipe, or they try to make that fight. Especially because Ciryl did just lose to Francis, and then if he wins and then for whatever reason Ciryl doesn't fight again, then Francis comes back, then we got to do that again. So I don't know. And no one else stands out to me. I mean, Tai Tuivasa is ranked number 3 right there. I don't know. I find it hard to believe that they're going to throw Ty right into an interim title shot.
Yeah, I mean, I like Ty. I think Ty, but
I do too. I love Ty. It seems like that's really quick.
Yeah.
Like, I think it'd be almost unfair to Ty, because he just kind of he's getting his wheels under him. You know what I mean? Like he had a bad run and then he's starting to figure it out. He's got this new gym. He's just now starting to get good and technical, and like things are really clicking for him. Like it would suck to put him in a really big situation that maybe he's not ready for, because to be very honest, I don't think that Ty Tuivasa is ready for a guy like Curtis Blaydes. He can be, just not right now.
I agree. I said this actually, funny enough, right after that event, I had Michael Bisping on. We did the podcast right after that event. And I said, listen, I love Ty Tuivasa, incredibly fun guy to watch, but and I say this with the utmost respect, I feel like he's kind of hit his ceiling a little bit right now, because I don't know that I like him to beat Curtis Blaydes. I don't know that I like him to beat Stipe. I don't know that I like him to beat Cyril. I don't know that I like him to beat Francis. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the four best heavyweights, arguably, in the UFC. There's absolutely zero shame in not beating those guys, but I just don't know that as you said, he just had this one monumental win over Derek Lewis. Awesome win, yes, absolutely. But I think we got to see.
But he even had some
more
struggle there. You know, yeah. He had some adversity there. Like, let's just not blow him up right now. You know, like let him build off of it. Like he's starting to feel himself a little bit. He's got a little bit of momentum. Like, let's not just throw him into the deep end and sink or swim. Like, give him like I didn't mind the Aspinall call out for Ty. I think, although Aspinall is, I think, in my opinion, definitely the better fighter. You know, I think he can be hit at times. He does put himself in some trouble sometimes, or at least in some precarious spots. But those are the kind of guys that Ty's going to have to worry about. Like, those are maybe that's more the level he needs to fight at. Your Jarzinho Rosenstrikes and your, like, those kind of guys. I think that's kind of where I'd like to see him hang out and see if he can get over on more guys than not.
Yeah.
But as far as, what else do you, I mean, I can't even think, there's no one else even pops on my head when it comes to the interim title fight. I think you kind of just nailed it. It's Stipe, Cyril Gane, and Curtis Blaydes.
And I think
no matter what, Curtis has to be half of that, in my opinion.
I agree. But to me, and I listen, I like Cyril Gane very much, but I think it's got to be Stipe. And also we got to look at the reality of the Stipe factor. Now, you know this, Anthony, you know, you will not find a bigger Stipe Miocic guy in the world than me. I'm an Ohio guy. I mean, that's my guy. I've covered Stipe since his NAA, since he was in the whatever that promotion was in Cleveland, like before he was in the UFC. Yeah. I was around Stipe back then. So you will not find a bigger Stipe guy in the world than me. That being said, Stipe can't wait forever. I mean, he just can't. I mean, I'm not saying he is. I'm not saying he's sitting out and telling the UFC and trying to dictate his course. I'm just saying, like, he can't wait for it. We just today, where we're recording today, is the 1 year anniversary of him losing to Francis Ngannou. He can't sit out another 8 months and wait and see what's going to happen. So I think it's got to be Stipe. He is the greatest heavyweight in UFC history, maybe the greatest heavyweight of all time. Him and Curtis Blaydes has never happened before. We've never seen it before. There's history. And listen, yes, I know Curtis has lost to Francis twice. But again, if he can go out and beat Stipe Miocic, who's going to complain about him getting a third fight with Francis Ngannou? And then if Stipe wins, once again, we're looking at the trilogy with Francis Ngannou, assuming he comes back. So I like Cyril Gane very much, but he is coming off a loss. It wasn't a particularly close fight. I mean, it wasn't the most exciting fight in the world, but he never really had Francis in trouble. There was never a moment where, like, oh man, it's almost going to happen for Cyril. If he would have won, it would have been a, 48-47 decision. It's Stipe and Curtis to me, man. Like, I just don't, I don't see another option to make sense. And that is a good fight. I mean, Curtis, incredible wrestler. We know the power he has. Stipe, incredible wrestler. We know the power he has. Is Stipe still the guy? You know, he's 39 going on 40. Is he still the guy? Or is Curtis Blaydes, or, ready to ascend and finally kind of reach his potential? I think that's the one to make.
I totally agree with you. And I couldn't sell it any better than that. I think that is the fight to make.
One thing that Curtis said at the post-fight press conference, and I want to get your opinion on this, Anthony. Now, I'm a big proponent in, listen, you fight where you believe you deserve to, where you belong, meaning weight class. You know, if you believe you're a light heavyweight, hey, you're a light heavyweight. I'm not going to fault you for that. But, Curtis said he thinks that Chris Daukaus is probably going to be better served at light heavyweight. He's not the biggest guy. We all know he's not like this ripped up, heavyweight walk around. He's got some body fat, and listen, I'm not one to speak about that because, listen, I'm not one to sit here and critique anyone's physique. That being said, you know, Curtis is like, no offense, I don't think he's a heavyweight. I think he's a light heavyweight, you know, kind of masquerading as a heavyweight. Listen, I don't know, has Chris Dawkins ever tried to cut? I have no idea. Has he ever gone through, has he ever gone to the PI and said, you know, what could I do? I have no idea. You look at him, though, you are a fighter, and you're a guy who fought and kind of killed yourself to make middleweight for years. Now you're a legit light heavyweight, one of the top guys in the world. Do you look at Chris Dawkins and say, that's a guy I think could be a light heavyweight?
That's the first thing I said when he walked in the octagon. It's the first thing I said. I said, I looked right at my wife and I said, that guy should be a 205. She was like, well, what'd he weigh in at? I said, I don't know, like 240. Like, you don't think there's 30 pounds hanging around his waist? You know what I mean? Like he, and I don't mean that disrespectfully at all. Like I, again, I don't like to criticize people's physiques. It's not my place, but if we're looking at this strictly from an athletic competitor position. You know, making weight starts in the kitchen. He's clearly putting the work in. He's training. He's getting in shape. You know, he can fight at a high level. Could he make 205? Absolutely. By looking at him, I do believe so. I'm fucking 235 right now. I mean, he's less than 10 pounds heavier than I am.
Yeah.
Fighting at, you know, at heavyweight. Like that's doable. You know, it's doable. And I don't kill myself to get there. I'm not miserable at all. I'm enjoying myself and I don't miss a meal and I still get to 205 fairly easy. So,
yeah,
he is carrying some extra weight around his waist for sure. It did look a little odd though, because his legs look in shape, his arms and chest look in, you know, decent shape. He just carries that kind of spare tire around his midsection. So, if I was him and there was an opportunity that I could do it and do it in a healthy way and not kill yourself and feel like shit and really diminish whatever returns you would gain by going to 205, I say he gives it a shot.
Yeah. It's funny. Curtis said something great. And I never really heard it put that way. He said, just cause you weigh 245 doesn't mean you're a heavyweight. I was like, that's 100%. Pretty brilliant. Like that's true. Like just because he weighs that much doesn't mean he's actually a heavyweight fighter.
Right. No, I mean, just because I'm 235, that doesn't make me a heavyweight. At all. And Curtis would know better than all of us. Like he felt him. He was in there with him. He felt his power. If Curtis says he's not a heavyweight, he's probably not a heavyweight. Yeah. And I'm a light heavyweight and looked at him and said, I think that guy should be at 205.
Yeah. And he's a super talented.
I've said the
guy.
Same thing about Stipe though.
Yeah.
Said the same thing about Stipe and look how he's done. So, I mean, I don't think Stipe is a heavyweight either, but he's a really thick, dense 240. Like it's different. And he's been as low as 230 not that long ago. Then the last couple of years, Stipe's been in the 230s.
And I think, and I remember talking to Stipe about this several years ago about it. And he kind of like chuckled when I said that. And he's like, you know, we thought about it at one point, but we just realized like, it just wouldn't work for me. But at this point, I think Stipe's 38 or 39. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's going to retire tomorrow. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
I think
there's
he's
no point to do it now.
Yeah. I think at this stage in his career, like I think, you know, he wants the rematch with Francis. He wants maybe one more run at heavyweight title. And then I think Stipe is going to move on to other things and that's okay. Like there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I don't see Stipe, and it's not because he doesn't love what he does. I absolutely believe he does. But like, Matt Brown, I'm going to fight till I'm 45 till the wheels fall off. I talked to Holly Holm a couple of days ago. She just turned 40. She said the same thing. She's like, I'm going to fight till the wheels fall off. I love this. I'm not going anywhere. I think Stipe loves it, but I also think Stipe's he's obviously a very dedicated fireman. He's got other things going on. Like, I don't see Stipe fighting to 45. I just don't. I don't know why. I can't give you a great reason why. I just have a gut feeling he's not that guy.
You know, I think in terms of Matt Brown and Holly Holm, love both of them. Huge Matt Brown mark for sure. I think that the weight of the bank account changes that conversation, to be very honest with you.
That's true.
Stipe is a very humble guy. He lives a fairly humble life. You know, like he's not blowing money and going to clubs and you know what I mean? Like he saves most of his money. So I would guess if you had a pretty full goddamn bank account, you never really had anything to worry about the rest of your life. Making that walk is probably tougher the older you get. You know, if you're still trying to build up that nest egg and you still got 5 years left to do it, you're probably going to want to do that. But Stipe's nest egg and his kids' nest egg and his grandkids' nest egg, everyone's egg is good right now in the Stipe Miocic family. So I would kind of go on a limb and say I think that the amount of money that he's made, in the last 5 years probably contributes to that a little bit.
Yeah.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, Anthony, let's talk about the hot button subject of the MMA world. And unfortunately, you know, listen, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, to be honest. But we've had kind of a weird week this last week with a lot of legal entanglements from fighters. And somebody asked me the other day, they were talking to me about like all the coverage I'd done on the Jorge Masvidal Colby Covington situation. I'm like, man, you got a lot of stories on that. It's like, guys, like, trust me, I don't want to do stories about guys getting arrested and guys, you know, right. You know, guys getting charged with crimes in our sport. But last week was crazy. We had Jorge and Colby, and then right on top of that, we had Conor McGregor getting arrested for, you know, driving recklessly, which again, I'm not giving Conor a pass, but like in the grand scheme of things, driving really fast while stupid is not, you know, it's not, you know, he wasn't driving drunk. He wasn't doing anything like right. Wildly, stupidly crazy.
I kind of gave him a pass. I don't want to call it that. But like when I read it, I was like, I don't really care.
Yeah. Like it's,
oh, he drives fast in a $300,000 car. Like,
yeah.
And I've been in Dublin with Connor when he's gotten pulled over. I don't know how fast Connor was actually driving. The police are doing Connor no favors, even back then, years and years ago. We're talking 2017, 2016. They weren't doing him any favors then. Before he was who he is now. So I don't want to say he's being targeted, but there's a possibility that maybe Connor wasn't driving as fast as, you know, Connor, maybe he wasn't as reckless as they claimed or whatever. They're not huge fans of Connor.
Yeah. Yeah. But listen, if I had a $300,000 Bentley or a Lamborghini, I might be driving really fast too. So I understand.
No, my foot would be on the floor. That's some bitch all the time.
But, yeah. And then of course, the end of the week we had, you know, everything going on with Chael Sonnen, and I'm not going to even really get into that because we don't know all the facts of the case. It's a very ugly situation. I don't know everything that's going on. A lot of it happened when I was at UFC Columbus, so I haven't really read in depth about everything going on. But of course, the big one was the Jorge Masvidal Colby Covington. Now we're not going to sit here and wax intellectual about the legal aspect because I'm not a lawyer. You're not a lawyer. I don't know what the legal. I said on Twitter the other day, to me, it all sounds like this is going to end up in a plea agreement. You know, he's going to pay restitution for the damage done supposedly to Colby's watch or whatever it was. But the big debate right now is going on is like, you know, who's right and who's wrong. Now, again, I'm not placing judgment on anybody and who's right and who's wrong. You know, but I've had a lot of people like, George shouldn't have done what he did. Jorge shouldn't have done what he did. It was a sucker punch, all this kind of stuff. Colby had it coming. He talks all this trash. Again, I'm not going to ask you to pass judgment on Andy, but what do you make of this situation? Because when I heard about it, my honest to God first reaction was, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. No, I think both sides are right, to be honest. the way that I grew up in the world that I grew up in the region that I grew up in, like, you talk shit, you're probably going to get smacked. That's just how it is. Or if I'm going to go run my mouth about somebody, I should expect that there's going to be something coming my way. And that's how I grew up. And I accepted that. If you're going to run your mouth, you're going to, you know, that thing is probably coming your direction. You're going to have to answer for that at some point in time. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but it might be a month down the road. Like it's coming back your way. So I do sympathize with Masvidal a little bit on that, but one, he did just have 25 minutes to try to do something about it and wasn't able to. I think Masvidal is a little more street than the average Joe. So, and he's probably a little more street than the average street guy. So I would guess that wasn't enough for him, you know, and Colby took it too far. And I won't stand up for Colby. I won't say, well, you know, you get to say whatever you want if you're going to go in there and fight. He knows Masvidal. And I would guess he wasn't that surprised that Masvidal did what he did. So I think both guys are equally wrong and equally right. Like, Colby has the right to say whatever he wants as long as he's willing to answer for that. And I think Masvidal has the right to try to make him answer for that. I don't like the way that Masvidal did it, though. I don't like the cheap shot sucker punch thing. Like, if you want to go in face to face, you know, and as long as Covington sees it coming, I really don't have that big of an issue with it. Now, if it keeps happening repeatedly, I feel like Masvidal got his one back, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, he broke a tooth or whatever he did, busted his watch. Like, all right. Like, you kind of proved your point. You got your one back. Now, if Colby keeps talking shit and keeps poking at him and then Masvidal comes back, that's kind of just how it goes. And I know that maybe a lot of your listeners won't like that because that's not the most civilized answer in the world, but like, we take our shirts off and fight for a bag of money inside of a steel cage, like, in front of the world. So I don't know what you're expecting of these two guys. Like, this isn't a dispute amongst staff in a hospital or a nursing home or something. Like, these guys are different, and this is the only way that they know how to really solve a conflict, and the conflict wasn't solved at the end of that fight. So I think that's kind of my take on it. I don't like the fact that he sucker punched him, but I also not sure that I would do anything different if Colby was talking about my family and my children the way that he was Masvidal's.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure I'm any better.
Yeah, I said the other day, I said, you know, Colby has gotten away with a lot in what he said. And, you know, you can sit here and say, you know, is it over the line? Is it not over the line? You know, I'm a big believer in, you know, listen, you know, it's just words, but, you know, words matter. And, you know, Colby.
Well, especially, you know, when it comes to kids in this day and age with social media, cell phones, all the content that's being put out, and you have kids that are like consuming that, like, that's where I draw the line.
Yeah. Well, see, the problem is that Colby, you know, Colby, when he first started the whole, I'm Colby Covington, the left, you know, the right wing lunatic Colby Covington, you know, I'm not going to say everything he said was funny or clever, but he had some funny or clever things in there. And some of the things he was saying was kind of, you know, whatever. But then, like, I said this before, it's when it got so lowbrow, when you're not able to really pick on your opponent for anything other than family, that's when you know you've run out of material. You've run out of anything interesting to say. And I said the same thing about Connor when he was going after Dustin's family. It's like, you're saying something about Dustin's family because you can't say anything about him as a fighter. He just knocked your ass out 3 months earlier, 4 months earlier. You can't say anything about him in that regard. So now you got to try to insult his wife and his kid, which is just really low-hanging fruit. And I said the same about Colby. Colby, you know, for all his weird, you know, right wing, you know, Trumpism, whatever, that's fine. Got no problem with that. But when you start talking about people's families, you do start crossing the line. And then I said this the other day. I'm not justifying it, but I'm saying Jorge Masvidal is that guy. You do not. Mm-hmm. This is the guy who used to fight in Kimbo's backyard. Okay, this is not the guy you're going to say bad things. And when he says, "I'm going to come at you on the street," he's going to come at you on the street. Now, Colby said the same thing. Colby's like, oh, if I see him on the street. No, Colby's not that guy. He's not
a street guy.
No, he's not at all. But George is. Jorge Masvidal is a guy. So you do not play that game with him. You may be able to do it with, you know, you may be able to do it with Dustin. You may be able to do it with Tyron Woodley. Maybe they'll do it with, you know, Kamaru Usman. They're not that guy. You know, they're much more civilized. They're just not going to pay attention to it. They're going to move on. Masvidal is not that guy. So, like, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying that you can't be that surprised that it happened.
You can't jump in the water with a great white shark and then be shocked when it bites you.
Yeah.
Like, at what point is that your fault? Like, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know it. Like, so was the shark wrong, or are you wrong for fucking swimming? That's how I look at it.
And Colby, listen, you know, as I said, you know, I've heard some really vicious trash. Like, one of the most vicious trash talk lines I've ever heard in this history of the sport. And it sticks by him. And it's a guy that I like very much as a person, a guy I know, you know, But when Connor pulled that, who the fuck is this guy on Jeremy Stephens? Like, that was the most savage, because it was so well-timed and like really right. funny in that moment. And that was, again, purely based on the moment. It was great reaction, probably mm-hmm. that, you know. But when you start talking about families and kids and like, you know, Colby, like I said, there is a line you can cross. And mm-hmm. Colby has done it. And I said this the other day, it's like the Dave Chappelle line. He's a habitual line stepper. And at some point, somebody's going to call you on that. And the problem is that Colby, you know, he has started to kind of live his own gimmick. Like at the beginning, mm-hmm. and we all heard this, he became this kind of like character to get attention and to kind of save his job and to start building his persona. And he kind of took on the pro wrestling thing. And I know the guy who manages him, it was a very orchestrated plan to build up Colby to become this guy he is. Again, fine. I got no problem with that. Chael Sonnen is very much the same way. When you meet Chael outside of, you know, being Chael, he's one of the nicest guys in the world. And when I met Colby at his fight with Rafael Dos Anjos, I went, he's an incredibly nice guy to me. I absolutely did not have a bad word to say, incredibly nice guy. I've chatted with him over the phone, like off, you know, whatever, incredibly nice guy. But I feel like Colby started to kind of live his own gimmick. And now mm-hmm. it's like, instead of being on 50% of the time, he's on 100% of the time. And when you do something like what he did with, and then he kept poking the bear after the fight, he's posted on Instagram every single day and do it. You don't expect do that with Masvidal. You just, I'm right. not saying it's right, but I'm saying you can't be that shocked that this guy's going to run up on you and punch you a couple of times when he finally sees you.
Right. And that's, you know, I made a very similar point. Like, it's, you know what you're doing, you know, in as good of friends as they were, like, even if they, if that part of it's overblown, you train with that man long enough to know if you keep fucking with him, he's going to clap back. And it's not going to be with his mouth or social media. And that's, you know, again, I think the whole thing's a goddamn mess. I think everything is, even Connor, I'll even say, let's take that out of it. But the stuff that's happening kind of in the MMA world right now, like the, you know, your John Jones situation and the Chael stuff and then this stuff, like, it's just not a good look right now at all.
Yeah. It is. It's ugly. And that's what I said the other day. Like, I wish I didn't have to write about a fighter getting arrested, you know, once a week. Like, that's the last thing I want to cover. You know right. what I mean? I don't want to write about that. I don't want to look
at police blotters. I hate it. I hate when people are asking me, like, oh, what do you think of this? Like, I wish I didn't have to think anything about it. You know, yeah. when Diaz is coming out being like, you motherfuckers are fucking up. Like, when Diaz is coming out saying that shit, you know, it's got bad.
Yeah, it's so funny. I was going to say, the Diaz brothers are kind of the same way. Like, they're not the ones to cross in that kind of regard. But, you know, it's funny. I've never written a story about Nate Diaz being arrested. He knows better. He's not that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not going to go out and do something stupid and get arrested. Like, he may be right. the guy. You run into him a show and you talk smack, he's going to smack you right back in the mouth. He's done it. We all know that mm-hmm. in certain fight shows. But again, yeah, I think that's hilarious you say that. Like, when you've crossed the line to where Nate Diaz is telling you to calm down, maybe you really, really, really screwed up.
That's 100% true.
So here, okay, before we get out of here, we're going to talk about your favorite subject, Anthony. I know you love this. And I want to talk about this because I genuinely want to hear your real reaction to this.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Jake Paul says he could knock out Conor McGregor in the first round in a UFC fight.
See, hold that, on. That's that extra caveat there. Hold on. All right.
Jake Paul says he could knock out Conor McGregor in the first round in a mixed martial arts contest. Now, I know you're a massive Jake Paul fan. We've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
But I read this headline today. Now, before I give you a chance to answer, let me throw this out there. I actually have come around a little bit on Jake Paul in terms of him as a person. I've interviewed Jake a couple of times. I know Jake's manager. Kind of the way I've always judged Connor. You know, I said this about Connor. I think I've said this publicly before. When I lost my job at Fox Sports and I got let go, two people reached out to me that day, like immediately after it happened. Max Holloway was one. Connor McGregor was the other. On Twitter, wow. reached out to me right away and says, BS, I can't believe they did that, whatever. I don't know if he wants me to put that out there, but I will always remember Connor for that. He's never been anything but gracious to me in person. Jake Paul, when I met him in Cleveland for his fight, when I've interviewed him a couple of times, incredibly nice guy. I remember he was running late for, he was like 15 minutes late for our interview, and he like apologized profusely at the start of our interview. Like, I am so, so sorry. I wasted your time, blah, blah, blah. He didn't have to do that, but I was like, that's cool. Like, I appreciate that he was gracious enough to do that. So I've come around a lot on Jake. I like a lot of what Jake says about fighter pay. I like a lot of what Jake says about, you know, better treatment of fighters. I don't mind that he's making money in boxing. Those are all cool. I got no problem with that. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Go fight Tyron Woodley 30 times if that's what you want to do. I don't care. Make that money. Good for you. Go beat up Tommy Fury, whatever. But let's slow down on the you're going to beat Connor or anybody else in the MMA fight in your debut. You're going to knock out Connor McGregor in the first round. Let's slow down here.
Yeah, I've come around on Jake a little bit too, to be honest with you. I still think he's kind of a douchebag, but it's okay to be a douchebag. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, he's not my type of dude. Like, I'm not sure that him and I could hang out and be friends, but you know, if he's truly out here trying to help people and he's trying to get pay up and it seems like he's going into his own pocket to help people on his own shows and stuff, I have a hard time knocking that. I've always said, I don't have any problem with him making money. If you can get it. I think everyone has the right to be able to compete if they want to. I've always stuck up for him and said he has the right to compete. He has the right to be here. He has a place at the table. And he trains hard. He takes it very serious. He busts his ass. And he's not as bad as people want to pretend. You know, like, I got a lot of shit from the very beginning of this. You know, there was every fighter you could talk to, that dude sucks. He can't fight. That dude is shit. And I said from the very beginning, like, I don't think so, guys. Like, I think he's okay. Is he going to beat anyone that I was like, I super respect their skills and abilities? Right now, no. But he's a pretty skilled, really heavy-handed amateur, in my opinion. Like, that dude can fucking fight. And people hate him so much, they forget that. But him fighting Connor, first of all, Connor's half his size right now. People do miss that. Jake Paul is a big dude, and he's fighting short, stocky wrestler welterweights. Jake Paul's my size. He's a big goddamn dude. He's way north of 200 pounds. So him fighting Connor like in a boxing match, that'd probably be a pretty good fight, to be honest with you. But is he going to knock him out in an MMA fight? No. Now when Connor gets kicking, he's going to kick Jake Paul's head right off his shoulder. In an MMA fight, but people say that Jake can wrestle a little bit. So maybe, you know, he might be able to keep it a little bit competitive for like a minute or so, but No, in an MMA fight, he's going to get barbecued.
It's like, I had more belief in Conor McGregor boxing Floyd Mayweather than I had belief in Jake doing that in MMA. And it's because at least in boxing, like, Conor legitimately does have power in his left hand. Like, we know that. And he actually has boxing skills. He wasn't going to be Floyd Mayweather. I mean, we know that, but he could hang with Floyd Mayweather a little bit. And yes, Floyd probably carried him for several rounds to kind of get people their money's worth. That's all fine. I got no problem with that, but he wasn't beating Floyd, but at least he didn't get massacred by Floyd. You know, it was the same kind of thing when people said Anderson Silva going over. I knew Anderson Silva was going to do well, and he has done well. I think Anderson Silva knocks out Jake Paul in boxing. That's not a knock on Jake Paul. I just think 100%. Anderson Silva's a freaking badass.
Right.
But come on, MMA is a whole other animal. When you mix in takedowns, kicks, knees, elbows, dude, it is all, I mean, I like, and I say this in all honesty, I like Jake Paul very much. I don't think there's a middleweight, and I'm saying middleweight because it's kind of in the middle where he's at. If he's 200 pounds, let's say middleweight. There's not a middleweight on the roster right now that he would beat. None. Mm-hmm. None. There's not a middleweight in the UFC that Jake Paul would beat. Zero. No. None.
No. And there's definitely not a 205.
No, just, I mean, that's worse. That's worse. Yeah, I mean, you actually give him someone his size?
Even someone that's been struggling. Like, say, like, what would Jimmy Crew do to Jake Paul?
That fight wouldn't last 2 minutes.
No, even Devin Clark. Devin Clark would bulldoze that dude over and smash him.
It would last as long as the MMA fighter wanted it to last.
It would last as long as it would take for either one of those guys to walk across the octagon. You know, however long that takes, 7-8 seconds. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's getting headlines. I get it. Like, he's playing the game. He's keeping Connor's mouth as much as he can because it's beneficial to him. you know, he's got a fight coming up, allegedly. He's seen he had something. He's back in August is what he keeps saying. So, I don't know. Tommy Fury's been talking about, he's got some big announcement too. So I wonder if that's what that shit is.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, dude, I got no problem with him making money. I got no problem with him, you know, box everybody you want, but come on. Like, I'm only bringing it up because I've come around so far on Jake Paul in terms of where I was at the beginning to where I am now, where I will legitimately say I am a fan of a lot of what Jake Paul does. And I had a blast at his boxing match. It was a lot of fun being there. It was a really fun crowd to be around in Cleveland. Again, I've come full circle on Jake Paul, 100%.
I've definitely eased up off of him a lot. Yeah. Like, all right, like.
But he ain't beating Connor. He ain't beating Dia. Like, maybe he beats CM Punk. I guess that's kind of the level where
that would be a good MMA fight. would be a good MMA fight.
Yeah, then maybe we're talking. But come on now, like,
they should book that.
There you go,
Punk. You just made a fight. Look at that.
Yeah.
Fight a couple hundred million dollars, I'd put those two together for sure.
Yeah, that where we could actually have a debate on who wins that one. He's not beating. Could you imagine? You said Jimmy. Could you imagine?
Could you imagine what he would do to him?
Could you imagine? I mean, come on. I mean, I'd
pay for it though.
I would pay for it in a second.
I'd pay to watch it. That's for sure.
In a second, I would pay to watch that. But come on now. I'm knocking it down because come on. Let's just, you know, we can say crazy things, but let's, you know, come on now.
Let's keep it in this world.
Yeah. Let's keep it within like some realm of possibility. You know what I mean? So. Anthony, it's always a pleasure to have you on, man. I know you're such an incredibly busy guy. And like I said, you have a million things going on. So I always appreciate you coming on and co-hosting the show. Anything else you got coming up? You want to plug anything else coming up? We should be keeping an eye out for you. I know you're always doing the analyst gig. Of course, you mentioned Believe You Me. What else you got coming up in the next few weeks?
Oh, man. I think I'm excuse me. Oh, here I am yawning right at you. You're
taking
not
a nap
me.
Right just, after this no, show. Not, is what you're saying.
Yeah, taking a nap. You're not boring me. I'm just tired. I think I got Arizona. I think that's my next one.
Okay.
I'm in Phoenix. It's in Phoenix, right?
Yeah, Phoenix. Yeah.
So I'll be working the desk for the Phoenix event.
Okay. That's the 273, right?
274.
Sorry.
273 is in Jacksonville, right?
That's right. Yeah, 274. Yep. Oh, yeah. That's okay. That was that Gaethje
and Oliveira.
Oliveira. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good one. That's a really good one. Carlos Barza, Rose Namajunas. Going to be a good card. Got a couple good pay-per-views coming up recently. I'm really looking forward to the next couple. We got, of course, Peter Yan and Aljamain Sterling and Volkanovski. Kamzat's coming up. So we got some good fights coming up. We actually have an off week this week. No UFC card this week.
I know. Weird. It's weird. Like, it's been a while. It feels like it's been a while since we haven't.
That's why we're talking about Jake Paul. We don't have any fights to talk about this.
Yeah,
weekend,
we got nothing coming up. Perfect. Well, I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Anthony. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, man.
A big thank you, as always, to Anthony Smith for coming on and co-hosting the podcast with me. Of course, we had a lot to talk about this week, coming off the heels of UFC Columbus and, of course, everything else happening in the world of mixed martial arts. Make sure you check out all of the work he's doing, of course, with the Believe You Me podcast with Michael Bisping, who is also a frequent co-host on this podcast, as well as his own show on Sirius XM Radio. As always, appreciate everyone tuning in to the podcast each and every week. Make sure you check us out on all of your favorite podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and, of course, you can always find us over on MMAfighting.com. We will see you guys next week for another edition of The Fighter versus The Writer. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you then.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.